Good morning. Live from the Ron Scott Communications Center, this is From the Stand. This morning, Larry Kelly will be here. He's with the B-25 Panchito. He's going to Trump Bide to discuss his latest trip to China. Ron Kaplan from the National Aviation Heritage Invitational Competition will tell us about what's coming up this fall. But first, you know, in the introduction it said airshow performers, personalities, newsmakers, people who make AirVenture special, and that's all of you. That's Patty Wagstaff. Patty,
thank you.
So glad to have you on the show. It's been a while since
thank
we've
you.
Had a chance to sit down and talk.
It is. I thought you were ignoring me.
hardly. You're a busy person. You have quite a history here at AirVenture. I don't want to go back and tell how many years you've been here, but it's been a few.
It's been a few.
Yeah, but you are probably one of the best known names in airshow and aerobatics. But I also think of you as an original Young Eagle because your dad sort of inspired you to get into aviation.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah, he did. I love flying with him in the cockpit. And, you know, back when I was a kid, there were no locks on the doors or anything like that, so we could walk back and forth. And I would just walk up there and sit in the jump seat or sit in the left seat. I have a picture of me flying when I was about 10 years old in the left seat. And he flew for Japan Airlines, and the Japanese co-pilot, Japanese love children. And so they thought it was great. I was up there, I'd fly around, make turns, and, you know, they thought it was fun. So, of course, the passengers didn't know.
Yeah.
A 10-year-old was flying.
And things are a little different these days, but
oh,
that's okay.
Oh, I know. I feel bad for the kids today.
I know. What a wonderful memory. It's great, and I remember a flight a number of years ago, again, before the locks on the doors and things like that. It was a commuter flight, and the pilot actually left the door open so we could see out the windscreen and look at the
God.
View, and I'm like, wow. That is really cool.
Yeah, it inspired so many people to fly, didn't it?
Yes, you know? It certainly did.
Yeah.
When did you formally get into to flying for yourself?
I moved to Alaska, and I wasn't sure what I was going to do, and I ended up working in a small town called Dillingham, and I started to learn to fly out there. I'd always wanted to. It was just the first time I had the opportunity. I'd lived in places where it was pretty difficult.
Sure. What was what was your solo flight? What aircraft?
My solo flight was at a little field outside of Anchorage called Birchwood, mm-hmm. and it was on my birthday, and I knew I was going to solo the next day. I couldn't solo that day because of the wind, and so I didn't sleep all night,
yeah.
You know, of course. I'm like, I wish he hadn't told me. But it was really empowering to be up there, and it was like the first time somebody'd really trusted me, you know, I felt like, you know, you're not incompetent, you're right. just a girl, you know, that kind of stuff. So I was like, wow, this is, you know, it was very empowering.
Good. What was the airplane?
It was a Beach Sport.
Okay.
I don't, there might be another word. It's not a Musketeer.
Okay.
It's the next one up. I
okay.
really liked it.
Yeah.
I felt like the doors were solid, you know.
Very good. Well, and you touched on a very important point about, well, you're just a girl. But you really broke some barriers as well, getting into aviation and aerobatics when you did, and certainly inspired many men and women to pursue their dreams.
Well, thank you for saying that. I just wanted to do what I wanted to do,
yeah.
you know, and I didn't start by wanting to inspire anybody. But it just seemed so silly that people didn't think that we could do things. Like
right.
there were no, you know, when I was about 12, I said I wanted to be an airline pilot because I loved hanging out with the pilots. And they're like, oh, you know, that's girls can't be pilots and stuff like that. And it was like, I don't understand,
yeah.
you know, it just seems so stupid. So, you know, I've never really, really gotten that. So anyway, I just kind of wanted to do what I wanted to do. And if that's inspiring, I'm happy.
Very good. When did you get into aerobatics, and was there something that triggered you wanting to fly less than straight and level?
I always was really fascinated by it, but I'd never seen it, never been to an air show growing up because we were in Japan. And so I asked my dad, what's it like to do aerobatics? You did it when you were training in the Air Force. And he's like, oh, no big deal. Yeah, we do a loop, you know. And, you know, he's sort of whatever. And he liked flying big airplanes. So I went to an air show. My husband and I went to an air show, and I'm like, that's it. I remember it was at Abbotsford, and I stood at the fence and watched the performers and how they all were talking to each other and interacting, and I'm like, that's where I want to be.
So you started out not in air shows, but actually in aerobatic competition first.
I actually flew an air show first.
Okay.
A couple in Alaska. There weren't any competitions there.
Okay.
And then I flew down to the States to fly in Fond du Lac, just
right.
down the road. And my first contest, and I'd never seen a box, you know, the markers on the ground and everything that they have, and I went to Fond du Lac once to look, you know, to watch, mm-hmm. and so I didn't come in last, though. So, and I flew an intermediate. I thought, I don't want to play a sportsman.
Okay.
And then I was so nervous, and I left. I thought, I never want to do that again. Of course, you know. I did.
You did, yeah. For those who don't know, draw a little parallel between what you do in an air show act versus what you would do in a competition.
Yeah, air shows and competition are quite different, but a lot of air show pilots do start in competition, and I highly recommend that. Competition is much more structured. It's really not a spectator event. There's no smoke. It's flown at higher altitudes. As low as 300 feet for unlimited, and then as high as 1,500 feet but base for the beginning, or not beginning, but the sportsman primary, where a lot of people do start categories. So it's a series of maneuvers that you get ahead of time that you have to practice and keep inside this small airspace, which is very hard and to do. And then as you get better, you can move up to another category, and every maneuver is graded on a score of 1 to 10. So, you know, you always leave there feeling like, you know, feeling like you just flew terrible. And then I like the balance between that and air shows. And you go to an air show and everybody says whatever you do is great. So it was like a really kind of kept it even, you know.
There you go. What is the size of the aerobatic box?
It's 1,000 meters, so mm-hmm. about 3,300 feet.
Okay.
So, or a sixth of a mile.
Okay.
And so if you look at it from the air, it's pretty small.
Right. And yeah. if you compare it to what we see at AirVenture, the box is almost a mile long.
Yeah, right?
And, so you can do anything.
Yeah. And every airshow box is different,
right,
too.
Right.
Sometimes they're really short. Sometimes they're wide. And then the competition box is always that 1,000 meter right. square. Right.
With the competition, and you move up in different classes, are there different maneuvers that are introduced in as you're stepping up?
Yeah.
More complex as they go?
Yeah, they do. And some people stay in sportsmen for forever, which is really great. And that, you know, they might fly a clipped wing cub, something like that. So it's designed for all different types of airplanes. When you get to the unlimited category, it's very difficult. And, you know, the planes have to be state-of-the-art. Mm-hmm. And internationally, they have to be state-of-the-art. So it's good that we have that. But it's pretty cool that competition really tries to stay what they call grassroots, so everybody can compete. You
right.
know, you could be in a 150 aerobat, clipped wing cub, decathlon. Decathlons are super popular, and still participate and have a good time and get better. You know,
yeah, all the way up to the
to like when I'm flying the extra 330 SC.
Yeah,
that's kind of the airplane.
With the air show today, you'll be flying. It's Women Venture Day, so we're putting the spotlight on ladies who fly. So we'll have that in the air show. And I know you've had a long career, but are there some memories that kind of stand out from different air shows? Not necessarily Air Venture, but other air shows that you've flown?
Oh, so many. Yeah. I've flown all over the world,
right.
and it's given me so many opportunities. You know, flying in Iceland is one of my favorites because I went over there for a banquet. I was invited by some friends and found out it's a great aviation community there. There's a lot of pilots and they love aviation, and even though it's a small country, lots of airports. And they said, hey, would you like to fly the show in downtown Reykjavik? They're having a show. And I'm like, yeah. So there was a PITS available. And so I was flying the show there. It was unreal. And then this geyser, they call them geysers, this geyser pops up in the middle of the show because they're all, you know, the hot springs and the geysers and geysers. And I'm like, this is too much. And then, so that was really cool. That's one of my favorites. But I've flown air shows all over the, you know, Singapore,
right.
Paris, Farnborough. Those are amazing. And Russia.
Yes.
Yeah. So I've been very fortunate.
Yes, we're talking with air show star Patty Wagstaff, and with the air shows, your career is kind of evolving a little bit. You're kind of you're stepping back from air shows, but you are very active in promoting aerobatics and safety through your school.
Oh yeah, very much so. So we have an aerobatic school, mm-hmm. but you know, upset training is the big buzzword these days, and it's fantastic. So when we started the school about 10 years ago. I was like, upset training, why don't they just learn aerobatics? Like, you know, what's that? And My friend Randy Brooks, he works for APS, he said, no, Patty, you don't understand. Upset training is, like, really important. That's people can become very much, you know, become safer in one day. Aerobatics takes a whole lifetime sometimes, you know. And so I thought about it and thank Randy for enlightening me. And so I became a big believer in upset training. So, of course, all of our courses start with upset training.
Great. If someone wants to learn more, where can they find out?
Just go to my website. It's just pattywagstaff.com and talk all about the school, upset training, and our programs.
Very good. Thank you. We're going to see you fly in the air show later today, and this will be your final performance here at AirVenture.
Yep.
So we'll look forward to that. You're going to close out the air show, and we'll be looking for you in the sky.
Thank you. I can't wait.
All right. Patty Wagstaff, thanks for being here, and look forward, like I said, to see you fly this afternoon.
Thanks.
This is EAA Radio.